Hey, on Saturday, I told you about oil, what was coming, rang true, kind of affected stocks this morning as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, we can talk about oil, gas prices, your 401k, those darn annuities, equities, bonds. What do you want to talk about? Oh, Social Security, 504-2600-995. Get the phone, make the call.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. You know, most shows, we have the topics laid out, and we take you down a wonderful educational adventure through financial goodness. But sometimes, and it happens more often on the Saturday shows, we get steered down the path by you. And what happened on three different occasions on Saturday show is someone's call sparked a discussion with Gregory and the caller, which sparked other callers on the same topic who had different branches on that tree that they wanted to ask about. Anybody asking about real estate today in the office, Gregory?
No, I did not get real estate questions. Net unrealized appreciation I talked about today in the office.
Well, that's not too different than property. You know, you get the step-up basis. And
well, net unrealized appreciation is when you have company stock in your company plan. And let's say back in the day you paid $10, $12, $15 a share, some low prices, and let's say it's selling for $100 a share. You could take some of that stock, subject to the rules of the plan, you can take some of that stock when you go to leave the company, leave the plan, and move that outside of the plan by paying the taxes on those stocks you acquired at that low price. And you could still hold the stock, but now it goes outside of the plan and its value. Some plans do let you select the stock that you want to do the NUA shift out of the 401k. And that's the NUA actually is an opportunity to take and move money outside of the plan, because if it's moved outside of the plan, the government can't tell you what to do with it. Like take RMDs. Own it. That money comes outside of the plan. And what you're looking for is something tax advantageous. Like, are you paying a lower tax on this money that you're moving outside versus leaving it in there and be taxed as ordinary income later? Does the capital gains help you as well? Some plans want you to average it on the overall stock that you have. Some require you to NUA all the company stock you have instead of selecting it. So you have to see how the company plan wants that to, their rules to allow that to happen. And it's not always advantageous, because we're looking for an opportunity. And if the plan, for example, says, well, you have to NUA all of it if you're going to do NUA, and you're like, I don't want that big a tax bill. Because think of it, it's a tax bite. How much are you willing to bite off? The dilemma then comes in if somebody says, oh, I love my company stock. I like the dividends. I want to hold it. It's going to be worth so much more. So then the dilemma is, if they're required to do all of it, they're not wanting to hold all of it or NUA all of it. What it really comes down to is the tax bite. How much of a tax bill are you willing to create that you've got to satisfy this year? Do you have some margin within your tax bracket, or else you jump into another tax bracket with that base amount? And once again, you only have this opportunity once when you roll over the 401k if you have company stock in there. I know it sounds a bit complicated, and that's why you should use somebody that's qualified to deal with IRA plans, 401k rollovers, that understand how net unrealized appreciation works, that understands the tax side and has tax professional resources like CPA Jude Heath in that case to lean on as well, because it is a tax play, it is a stock play, and you're looking for efficiencies, not to have a bigger tax bill or necessarily to sell stock. But it's a discussion, and if you're doing a rollover, kind of two core questions I think always should be asked when somebody's helping you with a rollover. First, is there an NUA opportunity you need to explore that? Meaning, are you holding company stock, and what were the prices it was bought at over time? The second is, does it have after-tax money in the account? Because you want to separate that out before you roll it over. Do you like cream in your coffee, James?
I do love it.
You love it? Well, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I asked them, do you like cream in your coffee? He said, absolutely not. I said, well, what happens when they serve you with cream in your coffee? Can you get it out? He said, no. I asked, well, have you tried? He says, no, there's no use because you can't get it out. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can't get cream out the coffee. And I said, yeah, I agree with you. You're right. See, it's kind of like rolling over your IRA where most of it's pre-tax, but you have some after-tax dollars in it. It's like impossible to get out except for one thing. If you're going to work for somebody else, you could then move that money over there, leave it there, and when you finish that job, when you separate from it, then you could get that after-tax money out. So what we want to do on a rollover is if there's after-tax money, we want to ask about it, and we want that money separated out. We want it to go to a non-qualified account, an after-tax account, or it could indeed go to a Roth account. Most of the time, people are using that after-tax block of money to shore up their emergency money. But it's a core thing that should be inquired about, because if you do not separate it out, how do you get it out? Pro rata. Means some of it comes out as you take distributions, which means it's mostly going to be taxable, but you get a little bit of that after tax out with it as well. IRS has a formula for that and a tax form.
But stocks in your 401k, when you have a distribution, they're taxed at an ordinary income or capital gains rate?
Where are your positioning
on stock this? In a 401k?
If it's in a 401k, a company stock, and you roll it over, remember, everything that comes out taxed out of qualified accounts is taxed as what?
Ordinary income.
Ordinary income. Exactly.
Okay.
So even if you're taking distribution from your 401k, it's going to be taxed as ordinary income. Even that company stock. That's another reason to, is there an opportunity to move that asset or some of that asset outside of it? If you roll it over to an IRA, how's it going to be taxed?
Ordinary income?
Ordinary income.
Okay, but what if it's a distribution, you're over the age, and you're forced to take money out of your 401k every year?
Ordinary income.
Okay.
It's taxed out.
But the same stock in a non-qualified plan, that would be taxed at capital gains rate.
Right. Once held over a year. But you have held it for a year because you've had it a long time in your company plan is the assumption here. So it's at a capital gains tax rate. So you want to look at tax play. You've got let's say it's $10 you bought it far back in the day. You want to pay taxes on that, which will be taxed at your current tax rate when you go to do the NUA, move it outside the plan. So that other $90 came out as well. It's not taxed. So that other $90 will be taxed as a capital gain tax rate in the future when you sell that stock outside of the plan. So how does that compare to what your income tax bracket's going to be as well? Knowing you paid some tax on $10 and now you got to pay some tax on the other $90 compared to what your tax bracket's going to be, and does this help reduce RMDs for the future as well? There's so many things to look at in there, but what's appropriate for the client is if they have company stock, that question should be asked. Is there an NUA opportunity? What I find is most don't take advantage of it because of the tax bill, but it should be discussed.
Well, I walked in on you doing a coaching session with a couple of the guys at the office, and you mentioned it was a hypothetical situation. It wasn't about anybody specific, but I'm sure you've done this 1,000 times, where they were taking someone's accounts, and before they rolled them over to a new custodian, or I don't know what the specifics were, you told them it was advantageous if they went ahead and sold all the stock positions and then moved it over, rather than move it over and then sell all the stock positions and get the cash there. It matters where they got the cash, and you were basing this on the fees. One guy had a different transaction fee.
In a 401k, money that's moving out, typically that moves over in cash. And that's just normal procedure for moving money out of 401ks, unless they're wanting to hold company stock. Now, if they have a brokerage account elsewhere, not naming names, and they move it over and we custody at Fidelity Investments, but that money moves over to Fidelity, typically we're moving that over in kind to clean it up.
Okay. So the transaction fees come into play when you're trying to get rid of the stock and you got to...
Well, there's always, when you're selling stock and positions, there's probably... I would say there's some type of fees. There's a transaction fee as well. But when we're moving money out the 401k, we'll let them solve that on their side because it's not going to cost you anything. It's real clean when it's coming out the 401k. If you're moving from one firm to another, there's going to be a transactional fee somewhere. Usually it's pretty equal on either side.
You like being the advisor coach? Because, I mean, you're taking guys who've been in the business for 15 years and you're showing them little tricks. They're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's a whole different world for some of the, well, for all the people when they come over and work with us, whether they're on a service team or whether they're advisors. Because actually in both worlds, they're like, wow, we're busy here. Yeah, day flies by and you're challenged, you're learning. This business is for smart people is kind of thing because you want to keep your mind busy. Not that you have to be rocket scientists is not what I'm inferring to. It's just, you know, we like our minds to be busy and active, and that makes the day fly by. And I think it's kind of fun. And the advisors are busy, but we're constantly learning because it's a different mindset how we go about it. It's always about doing the best thing for the client. We don't do stuff to be transactional. And we're looking at more beyond just the investment account. We're not there just for that. We're there for the income planning, the tax efficiency, estate planning, health planning, and then more about what's going on perhaps in the family. What might be affecting the assets? Where's this money going to be going? So are they thinking about buying a business, selling a business? You know, what is it they're wanting to do? Some of them want to buy a motorhome and travel the country. Well, we got a few thoughts on that too.
All right, you brought up something cool in your little coaching session today with some of your colleagues, and the way you structure your stuff, your estate, the way your stuff's going to be doled out to your heirs. You had a really cool idea in there that I want to adopt, and I want to adopt it now, and that's the birthday check.
I think that's an awesome idea. I've shared it over the years, just not repetitive from that standpoint. But it's when somebody thinks about, you know, they're just not going to, if I just leave the money to them, they're not going to appreciate it. Like,
they'll blow through it in 5 years.
They're like, and I don't quite look at it that way. I just think about it. If you kind of clock a check every year to some grandkids, nieces and nephews, or even siblings, you want to do it in a way where it's impactful. You can leave some money. And then, boom, it's spent and gone. Why not do a little bit of planning? And this story came about recently when I shared it was, I don't know. I just think I'm going to donate it to charity. Nobody's going to appreciate my money. I bet you they will if you do it the right way. What do you think the charity's going to appreciate it? Yeah, they'll make a big deal right when they get it, especially if it's a lot. But why not clock a check, calendar a check to them every year on your birthday from now on, depending on how much assets and how you're wanting to do that, but you can structure. If it's inherited IRA, well, that could be scheduled because they're going to have to take RMDs, but you have it set up where they're getting this on your birthday every year. Or you could do it on their birthday.
Yeah, I like the my birthday stuff because then I get credit and my birthday becomes a holiday and every year all of them are looking forward to my birthday.
They look forward to grandma or grandpa's birthday or dad, you know, whatever. I like the idea of that it just kind of systematically and, you know, your money probably not going to last forever. But what if you could do it for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? What an awesome gift to leave behind. And I asked a group of people that, and you saw what I did. I said, anybody, if they were getting a check a year, let's say $1,000 a year, you're like, gosh, why didn't you give it to me at once? Don't bother. Anybody giving that check? What if it's just $500 every year? Found money, so to speak, every year on that day. And you know it's coming. It's like fun money. Anybody giving that back? They're wanting a soul that said, oh, no, I'm looking forward to it every year in that case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that idea. It's something to think about when we all want, you know, ultimately, would we all like to leave behind money? Yeah, because that means we've done well, we lived well, and then we left money behind.
It means we didn't run out.
Yeah, exactly. You picked up on that. And then to be remembered for a long time. Gosh, how special is that? Do some good and be remembered for doing some good.
See, that's kind of when estate planning turns into legacy planning.
Yeah, it's just, what you going to do with your stuff? Well, let's do some good with it. And yeah, if you want to do some charity as well, you could do that every year. I kind of like the yearly thing instead of just, here's a bucket full of money, enjoy, and it's gone.
Oh, I love it because we tell stories all the time. We have the stats. 70% of people who come into a lump sum spend it all in 5 years. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, less than 5 years, yeah. It's gone. Hence why the IRS is kind of wanting to do away with the stretch IRAs on inherited accounts.
Because they will get all that tax money.
Yeah, so. And look, people aren't keeping it. It doesn't become a generational gift, and they're just wanting, for the ones that do want to do that, say, oh, that's the big ones, and we're wanting to put a stop to that. Let's just go ahead and get all those taxes over the next few years. So I do think the stretch eventually goes away. The House passed it. The mm-hmm. Senate will address it one day. It's coming.
What if you made it a Christmas gift? Or like sort of a, let's give it to them on December 1st for Christmas shopping?
I would do it different. I would stick more to the birthday timeline. If it was somebody special you wanted to leave something to, then it, you know, it's a couple grandkids or something on their birthdays. It's kind of a neat deal. Or yourself. It's just, I think Christmas, way too much going on there for you to be specifically remembered for that.
And this is all about
me. And they're
me.
Opening other, the kids are opening other gifts and all, and then, you know, oh, here's grandma's check for you for this year. Oh, okay, thanks. And they're off running
good
off
point.
To somewhere else. So I would have it done at a different time, probably when they kind of need it for something else.
You called it on Saturday. It's one of your easier predictions in the history of your life. After we found out a drone.
You know, don't you love it when the plan comes together like that?
Yeah.
Or you nail the prediction?
We're told a couple of drone attacks on two Saudi oil fields have knocked down about half of their daily production. So Gregory makes the call on Saturday's show. You can expect oil to go up on Monday. And it does. We'll go into a little more detail here, but just to whet your appetite a little bit. Oil surged, had its biggest gain in 11 years today. And Gregory, something that someone brought up today that I thought was a good point to make. This sounds like Keystone XL pipeline might be a pretty good idea after all, huh? This new pipeline that's going from here to Lake Charles, you know.
So what's the status on that? I know it was killed during the previous president. This president voted in, but said, okay, approved it, but you got to use U.S. steel, which I thought that was cool. All for that.
Okay, so it was approved in 2008, but then killed by the previous president, and then it was revived last year, and then it was blocked last November after a federal judge in Montana stopped it. And then Trump issued a new permit for construction of the pipeline in April, and they're supposed to be putting shovels in the ground any second now, but can we hurry that up?
Yeah, like tomorrow. There's some need.
I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Another thing that came up on Saturday's show, and I'm probably going to do a little more of this when you're gone tomorrow, because I'll have time to play back a couple of these calls. But people were trying to figure out spousal social security strategies. Did you notice how we had a few calls on that? People trying to figure out, all right, how can, given our situation, how can we max out what my spouse gets off of my social security record?
Look, people are making decisions on social security and they don't realize how serious it is. Maybe the callers more so do, but you know, when you think about it, you're turning on a $20,000 social security check. I define it as you're making a $500,000 decision. And no, I'm not running the math of $20,000 a year over 30 years. I'm thinking of if you had that amount of money, $500,000, and you're making a decision to stream income from that, 4% is $20,000. So I equate it to you're making a $500,000 decision because that's what it would take in assets to generate that income. If both of you are turning that stream on, you're making $1 million decision. So timing of when you do that, it doesn't. Now, my theory, you've all heard me say this, if you love your spouse, you'll defer. Okay, that's a basis on we would like to leave a larger behind check. one of you needs to have a larger check than the other to leave behind. Can we maximize that? But that doesn't necessarily mean we defer for both of you. A lot of cases, the smaller check's probably getting turned on earlier as well to start taking income from that. And you're also wanting to see how that correlates to assets. And it doesn't mean both of you necessarily are going to wait to full retirement age to do that, because it depends on how it correlates to your assets as well to maximize the overall assets and income planning. And it should be a discussion. And you just say, oh, okay, I've reached a state. Let's turn it on. And sometimes we've had callers on the show, James, ask, well, why'd you turn it on? Well, thought it was time. I turned 62, so I turned it on. I don't know. I just wanted the money. You don't get the, I sit down with the spouse. We ran the numbers. I correlated to my assets. And this was the strategy that maximized everything the most.
No, it's usually just, I wanted the money, right?
Yeah. We don't get that answer, but that's what we're doing at the office. And that's why I think this is so important that we keep having this conversation with people and getting them to think a little bit differently. This is a huge deal.
Well, there's the guy that turned his Social Security on early, and he was concerned. He has a significantly younger wife, and when she turns full retirement age, if she goes to jump on his record, is she going to get a similar haircut to what he got for turning it on early? And you know that rule, but where else would you find this rule?
Yeah, and we had a number of calls on Saturday's show about the spousal benefits. Like, what? My wife can get a bigger benefit when I turn mine out? A lot of questions like that. If you would like to find out more about how we can help you with your money, Gregory Ricks and Associates, we are wealth advisors and estate planning. If you want to have discussions like this, drill deeper. My office number is 504-832-9200. Go to gregoryricks.com.
All right, your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Download that app. You can find out when Gregory's having his live events. You can listen to our shows live or on demand with the podcast. So go ahead and get that app for you. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.